Yeah. What's happening? We up? Yeah, that's how pro this show is. We up? We up? Episode one, bitching. What's happening? So ridiculous, like when it's a new show. What's happening? I got a co-host here, my good friend, Christian Spicer. Say hello.
Hello. Is this up? Is this up?
Check.
Are we, hello?
Check, check.
Hey, hello. Hey, happy to be here.
Yeah, right. So basically, it's my main idea for this show was I get like hundreds of emails for Let There Be Talk, hundreds, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have time to answer them all.
My basic idea for this show was, man, I'm lazy.
No. It's not that, but it's like a lot of people will email you with questions, and it's like, fuck it, let's just have them call in. And then I can get it done on Thursdays, right?
Tune in next week. It's when Dean goes through his junk mail. You recycle, recycle, recycle.
Yeah, no. But here's the thing. I love like Howard Stern, that style of those kinds of shows, and I love doing that stuff. And you know, I just think it's practice for one day when I'm on satellite radio.
Oh, I mean, don't you mean it's practice for someday when this show becomes bigger than the Howard Stern show? Like, why leave the great thing that you're starting? Just make it bigger and better. And that will be Dean Reads the Yellow Pages.
Right. Oh, I wouldn't leave if this thing was smashing, because it's like two blocks from my house. And you know, it's that easy. But anyway, so it's called Bitchin'. It's going to be on Thursdays here. All Things Comedy, which is Bill Burr and Al Madrigal's amazing network. And of course, Spicer, you have a podcast too. What is it?
Yeah, I do a video game podcast called DLC. And we were just listed on the 2015 preview episode or Mac issue of Entertainment Weekly as one of the 20 podcasts to check out. So that was cool. If you like video games, it's we do video games every Monday at 11 a.m. It records live, called DLC.
Yeah, I don't play video games because I'm an adult. But
says the dude with a trucker hat, a huge mustache.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, I love video games like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Galaga.
Yeah.
I love Dig Dug.
Yeah, this is the part of the show where Dean lists retro video games for as long as he can. Okay.
Yeah. anyway, so glad to be here. Let's see. I got a few things I wanted to talk about today. One of them is last night opened for Bill Burr, which is fantastic. He's going to be in Australia all February. So if you're, I know some people listen to me in Australia. So please go see Bill Burr. He'll be out there, and he's doing all new stuff that you have not seen if you saw his new Netflix special. And I was laughing my ass off last night. It was at the Trepanier House, which is a fantastic theater over on Hollywood Boulevard. Have you been there?
I haven't. I just saw your picture on Instagram, though. It looked awesome. And yeah, first, if you haven't seen, watch his Netflix special, watch Bill's Netflix special.
It's incredible.
Two, wherever city you are, when you get the opportunity to see him live, do it. Don't be stupid. Do it.
Absolutely monster right now. It's funny when you watch stuff like growing up, your band, like even recently, I love Rival Sons, and over the years of talking about them, all of a sudden now they're on Letterman.
Yeah,
they're starting to smash.
Yeah,
and I feel it's like the same thing with Bill. He puts in like 18 years of work, and all of a sudden it just seems like boom, he's everywhere. He's a new movie with Kevin Costner. I think it's called Black and White, coming out maybe this week. They had the premiere. He's going to be on Bill Maher Friday. You know, he's got the new special. He's going to fly around the world, too. He's telling me he's doing Australia, then he's going to, like, Asia or Hong Kong or something. Then he's going to land in New York. So fly around the world,
yeah,
which is pretty badass.
Yeah. That's like I was at a premiere for The Rocker, the Rainn Wilson movie, if you remember that. He was, like, a drummer. And the movie's what it was. But at the premiere, then they had a Q&A from audience members, and I'm up there, whatever, hanging out, doesn't matter. And this person raises their hand and goes, Mr. Wilson, what office were you working at when you were discovered to star in The Office? And And it's like people just, because like obviously The Office, Rainn Wilson blew up and became a household name and a household figure. And this guy just assumed that he was just an office worker. And then like some casting exec comes in and is like, you. And Rainn was like, well, I wasn't. I studied with these Royal Shakespeare companies. I was doing all. And I feel like as Bill or any comic blows up, it's like, oh, yeah, Aziz Ansari, man, I wish I was at the Burger King where he was when he got discovered. It's like the Burger King.
There's no one getting discovered.
Yeah.
It's called fucking hard work. Oh, you don't discover. You know, it's so funny, man. People just think that, like, you know, people, oh, those guys came out of nowhere. And then you go, like, you just don't do any research at all. Like,
that guy came out of nowhere of 20 years of hard work.
Yeah, right. That's insane.
And then blew up on the scene.
So tonight, I've got something pretty badass going on. I'm going to be hosting the Bonzo Bash, which is, pretty fired up about this. It's pretty insane when you think about if you played music all your life like I did, and then you don't do it anymore, and all of a sudden everything from stand-up comedy is coming from your musical roots. It's incredible.
Yeah.
The 25 years was not a waste of time.
Well, it's Dean's advice how to make it in the music biz is to do stand-up comedy.
or the opposite. You do something for like a million years and then just switch.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, this is easy. It's blowing up for me. No, but so anyway, I was in a good example. I was in Guitar Player magazine this week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I played music 25 years. I'm never in there. I do stand up, and they put me in there.
Great
Hilarious.
Picture, great art. If you haven't seen the issue, pick it up. It's awesome. Dean's there rocking out.
It's crazy, man. But anyway, so tonight, if you live in Los Angeles, or if you you don't, and you play music, you know what the NAMM show is. It's a humongous convention. It's a National Association of Music Merchants. And it's basically where every person that makes a musical instrument or anything with music, string, sheet music, cellos, anything, they all gather.
I want to rock on that cello.
Yeah. But they gather at Anaheim Convention Center, and they show off their shit all day, and there's millions of rock stars there. If you ever wanted to meet your favorite rock star, you fucking go there, and I guarantee you will meet them. But at night, they have these incredible concerts, and tonight is Bonzo Bash. Tomorrow night is Randy Rhoads Remembered. And it's huge stars. I'm a host and sing some, but I'll just give you some of the drummers that are playing the Bonzo Bash. So the Bonzo Bash tonight will be a tribute to John Bonham, which is, of course, Zeppelin, my favorite band. But some of the guys playing are like Dave Lombardo. They got Kenny Aronoff. If you know him, he's played with everybody on the planet. He was just on Court McCallum's podcast, Joe Bartnick and Court McCallum on ATC. Listen to that one. Kenny Aronoff. Who else we got? Steven Adler, Guns N' Roses. You notice they got the Lady Gaga drummer?
It's a good/odd. It's like Guns N' Roses, Poison.
Yeah.
Ace or whatever, and then it's like Lady Gaga, and you're like, what? I'm sure the guy can drum. I don't know him. But,
yeah. Well, no one would play this if they weren't the top dudes. And it's put on by this guy, Brian Tishy, who's a great friend of mine. He did an episode of Let There Be Talk with Bill and I, Bill Burr. And we talked only about Bonzo. It's episode 47, I think, so check it out. But I wanted to bring this up because I'm playing, and in my band is Tracy Guns. It's each song is different musicians. So my run is Tracy Guns, Rudy Sarzo from Ozzy, of course, and then Brian Tishy. But while I was there, this guy was playing, and I'd never...
Wait, is this like your Make-A-Wish? Like, this is...
I know, right? So I was rehearsing yesterday in the Valley, and it was like this rock star band camp. And I'm running around like... I mean, I've met these guys over the years, but in passing, like, hey, how's it going? But this is a five-hour day in the Valley with some of the best players on the planet. And you're just going like, oh, my God, man. And I was only supposed to be there an hour. I did not leave. I was there like 4 hours. But there was a guy that played yesterday, and his name is Franklin Vanderbilt. And look him up on YouTube. I'm sure he's on there. He's Lenny Kravitz's drummer. And I only know Lenny Kravitz from having the female drummer with the fro, you know her?
I only know him from wearing a blanket around New York City.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, he was wearing that
blanket scarf.
It was hilarious. He looked like he was, Chewbacca.
Yeah, there are a few people that can do whatever they want. Lenny, Prince. You know what I mean? Like, you reach a certain level and you're like, yeah, do it. I didn't mean to derail you, though.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, I do not knock people that wear radical shit because, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area and it was just a smothering of Gap cotton dockers. You know, these people that think you have to dress a certain way.
Sure.
And also, like I always tell people, if you were named something by your parents you don't like, you can fucking change it. Like, if your name is Roberto and you don't like it, just change it to Leo. Whatever. I'm just saying, you can wear what you want. You can fucking change your name. It's whatever you want to do.
Listen to Augustus Von Gusterson, Dean's actual birth name. Little known fact.
Exactly. So, anyway, I don't knock Lenny Kravitz. People just light up the thing like, oh my God, look what he's wearing. I go, yeah, he looks pretty fucking fly right there. You know what I mean? I still worship Eddie Murphy for wearing the red leather. I would easily rock red leather on my comedy special if he hadn't already done it. If he hadn't already done it, dude.
If I had a time machine, I would no longer go back in time and kill Hitler. I would go back in time and make Eddie not wear red leather so that you could... I want to see Red Leather Dean strut out on stage. That is my make-a-wish.
Oh, that shit is so great, man. Right? Like, I mean, but what I'm saying is, like, people say, well, that was a different time or whatever. I don't believe that. I think whoever does something, then people go, oh, fuck, that's badass.
Sure.
Right? I mean, how many hoodies do we have to see on stage? Or a blazer? Remember, for years it was blazer comics?
There's something about being comfortable, though. Like, there are also the people that are like, you can tell, and this is for men and women, where, like, comedy or rock or whatever they do, they don't have talent. They have spectacle, be it shoes that are gold and flashy or like, look how crazy my outfit is. And then like 20 minutes of their set is like, man, I don't even know if this is like, is this my wife's shirt? Like, shut up, dude. You wear that every time you're on stage.
Yeah.
So I understand the hoodie or the jacket or whatever, the comfort. But yeah, if you have something that you love, I mean, you're a big boot guy.
Yeah.
And everyone's ever like, oh, there goes Dean with those. It's like, that's something you like.
Yeah.
And they're fine and they're practical and wear them. Not everybody needs to be wearing the new Jordans and not everybody needs to be. I mean, this is a dope cardigan. I'm going to throw that out there.
But, I like that though. See, that's your thing now. You know what I mean?
Real original.
No, I'm just saying, though, if you got a thing you like and you rock it, it's cool. But if you're just trying to, some people just, you know, try to dress down or whatever. Like, I don't want to take away from whatever. Just be yourself that you're off stage, on stage. I'm rock and roll off. I'm not going to be. It's funny, when I started comedy, I was wearing sneakers and stuff. Because I was thinking, that's what you wear, right? And then I was like, fuck this.
Dean Walker, did you guys listen to that new Eminem song? These are the jokes.
Flavor guys. Anyway, so this guy, I was talking about the Lenny Kravitz drummer. He sits behind the kit and he's playing, I forget what song he's playing, but he's just fucking killing. I mean, like, it's funny because when you have all these drummers in a rehearsal, they're all super great, friendly guys. But in their mind, it's like when you're doing potluck at the store, you want to rock it, you know, because all the comics are in the back. So this guy sits down. He's about 8 feet tall. I took a picture with him and tweeted it. He is super fucking tall. And just murdered the drums. Like, and everybody was like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But of course, if you're playing with Lenny Kravitz, you are not a slacker. Lenny is like Prince. He finds the best guys and they're in the band. You know what I mean? They don't fuck around. He doesn't just get some schmoes, you know?
Hey, Jason, your mom got you a drum kit for Christmas. You want to come on the road with me?
Yeah.
It's my dream.
Lenny Kravitz, you playing Kravitz now. Let's mention real quick the phone number. Anybody got the number here?
It is 323-282-7424. And if we're talking to someone on the phone and you're calling and it's not going through, it's because at the time we can have one caller. We're, of course, working on that too. Make it as many people get in as possible, but that number again is 323-282-7424. So you can call in again if you don't get through. keep calling. We might be in the middle of a story reminiscing about, you know, the good old days before he was in Guitar Player magazine. Were you in stand-up comedy magazine when you were in a rock band?
That'd be hilarious. Do they have a stand-up comedy mag? They don't, right?
I don't, I'm creating a magazine about podcasts.
Yeah. Well,
it's a hard copy magazine. It comes out every week and it recaps that week's podcast. I think it'll do really well.
Oh my God. I'm still a sucker for magazines, man. Like when you're getting on a plane, you know, you'll just buy like five magazines. But what a waste of money.
Yeah, I quit that when they let you keep your iPad on. You don't have to power it down anymore for takeoff and landing. I was like, nope, don't need a magazine anymore.
I like magazines. It's so weird. Like, I love, like I'll get, like, a details mag and look at the clothes, then I'll get a spin mag and read some story, you know, like, and I'll just spin through them. I hate the magazine roach, I call them. They wait for you to buy mags, people on planes, and then they ask to look at them. Those guys suck.
Yeah.
They're just magazine roach. Are you done with that? No, I'm not. But you could buy it from me for half price.
I'll be done with it when I throw it in the trash. Until then, yeah, right? It's my magazine.
I don't even leave it on the plane. I bring it to the hotel. Fuck that, man. I mean, $20 in mags hurts, man. Yeah. It's like food or magazines. I get them every time, though. I get a bag of candy because I'm trying to quit candy, but if we go down and crash, I don't want to be the asshole eating fucking granola. You know what I mean?
You want to be the guy eating that real survival food. What's your candy? What's your poison? What's your poison? If you could pick any candy, like you go into a convenience store, pharmacy, you can only get one bag of candy. What is it?
Oh, it's gummy cherries.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And then Swedish Fish would be the second place. But
this show brought to you by Swedish Fish.
Yeah, let's go to our sponsor, Swedish Fish.
Dean's official candy of a crashed airplane.
You go candy?
I've really tried to cut back. You and I are both in the same boat where, I have very few vices. Yep. But candy is definitely, it's the type of thing where after a show, good or bad, you can be like, that was a great set. I'm going to get some candy. And you're like celebrating. You're like, man, that set sucked. I got to go get some candy.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
That's like this show. I wanted to call it bitching because you could call up and bitch like, fuck that, man. Or you can call and be like, that shit is bitching. That's how I look at it, right? That's the fucking name of it, you know? But it's true. Last night, I had a couple sets and then went to Pinkberry. You know, I was like, there I am. Pinkberry is fucked because they're open till 3 a.m. There's no, like, and it's on the way home from the store. I take a side street just to miss it a lot of times, so I don't go in there, man.
Yeah.
It's got a serious draw. So a couple nights ago, we did... I did your show. It was at the new UCB. UCB is an incredible improv. What is it? School?
It's a comedy theater and school started by the UCB four. You know, Amy Poehler, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts. It's Aziz Ansari are people that have come out of it. It's a comedy school and theaters. They have two theaters in New York and two theaters here in Los Angeles and classes. And I'm lucky enough to be part of that community. And I have two great shows there. And then the show we did. There's an awesome improv group called Winslow, and they have a show called Super Team, where every show they perform, and they're incredible improvisers, but then they invite people to be captains of super teams, of dream teams or whatever, and they asked me to captain a team of all stand-ups.
Yeah.
And you and I and Michael Costa, Ben Glebe, Marilyn Rice Cub, and then Joe Wangert, who is also an amazing improviser, but he had a half-hour special, an amazing stand-up, but he was kind of our ringer, like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
We went out and we did 15 minutes of long-form improv.
Yep.
How was it for you?
Well, I don't shit on improv. It would be like, to me, like some people are like, oh, fuck that, and then the improv people are like, fuck stand-up or whatever. I don't believe in that because as corny as it sounds, I just believe it's all kick-ass art. Whatever way you do it. It's like if you shit on country music like just the whole thing, like fuck country, really? Like every country song, you know what I mean? So it's just dumb. And I enjoy it. Am I good? No, fuck no. But I bet I could get good if I did as much as I did stand up.
Sure. Well, I think we had, I mean, the audience, well, so we were at the new UCB.
Which is on Sunset.
On Sunset. The old one, the original one, it's still there too, is on Franklin. The show I do there is called Improv versus Stand Up, which you've done. It has more traditional sets. But it was awesome. What a beautiful new theater.
God, and it's killer.
The audience was great. They knew what we were. They knew that we weren't master improvisers and that we were there stand-ups doing it. And they were super supportive and we got some good laughs and everybody seemed to have a really good time.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, the funniest thing about improv is, so you go out, if you've never done improv, you go out, you take an initial
suggestion
from the crowd, and then you try to riff on the suggestion for 15 minutes, in and out of this suggestion if you want or whatever. From what I understand from the improver people, they're constantly trying to keep with the theme, but it's not a straight thread.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, there's a couple chairs on the stage. You got like five guys. Sometimes just two people are doing it, and then a guy will run in and interject into it. And I tell you what, man, I love doing it. Like I would do it once a week. Just I'm terrible, but that's part of the fun of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's so funny because as what we said, as comedians, we're constantly trying to get the laugh.
Right.
Where the improv people are trying to make the scene better and better.
They're supportive and they build to this, like it's like energy building in the room and then they get laughs and then they tag. And then comedians, typically why stand-ups are often not the best improvisers is that they're very selfish. Each one will go for a laugh and kind of then ruin the scene that they were building together.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it. But that room, so UCB opened a new studio on Sunset.
Yeah.
And it's fucking fantastic. It's this incredible showroom that had like really nice seats and then a balcony of seats and you're looking down. And then it has classrooms there. So if you wanted to learn, do you go there?
I've taken classes with them. I've gone through their improv and sketch stuff. If people are looking for a show, hashtag plug, hashtag January 31st, I'm doing a show there called Trifecta with Roy Scovel, friend of everybody. Roy Scovel, we're doing stand-up.
My favorite person.
And then sketch from a group called Big Grande that some of the guys from Winslow were on. And then improv from one of the UCB's house teams. So these are the people that like went through the UCB classes and UCB says this is a good example. This is like a great example of our improv school. Called The Dragons. It's the 31st at 10:30.
What? The improv school, they have, what do they got, like four levels or something? Because I always hear people go, yeah, level four or something, like it's Scientology or something. But what is it?
So it's improv classes. They start with 101, go through 401, and then they have advanced study, other elective type classes you can take as well. And it just kind of teaches you a UCB specific of long form improv. There's other types of improv. There's improv on Whose Line Is It Anyway that's short form, and Groundlings is a little different than UCB. So UCB teaches their structure, and what they kind of gear you towards is a type of improv called The Herald, which is a specific show. But also, people that maybe don't even want to do improv, I think it can be, try 101, see if you like it, if you have the money and the free time, and it can kind of get you out of your skin. It's kind of like people are like, man, I want to do stand-up. How do I get started?
Right.
Do it. Go do it.
Yeah, right.
And improv requires, classes I think are a little better investment than for stand-up per se, because with improv you need a group of people that are going to get together and help each other out and kind of learn those basics. But stand-up, just go to a mic, go do it.
I always tell people that, like, they go, how do you do it? And it's like, well, you just go do it. You know what I mean? It's going to be horrible, but it's also fun at the same time. I still do open mics. I try to do them like four nights a week. I think they're just as much part of the thing is performing, like at a regular show. People think like you get to a level and then you don't do open mics anymore.
Right.
I mean, Bill Burr or Marin or those guys, they don't need to do it because they can do like that Trepany House last night. They can book an hour. They can bookcase it with, like they'll start with some stuff that works and then they'll go into about 20, 30 minutes of new stuff and then close with stuff that works and they can constantly see what's working and what's not.
But even those guys, I mean, any comic you know, any comic, I would venture to say any comic has done an open mic at a point in their career when you were like, that guy doesn't need to. I mean, I remember it's in North Hollywood. I don't remember the name. It's like a little coffee house, and you and Bill were there.
Yeah.
And it's a straight up open mic. Or like, there's a great mic Monday nights in Westwood at the Improv Space.
Love it.
And you go by there, and it's dudes. It's like, that guy has a Comedy Central special. That guy's a star of a TV show. That guy's. Because when you're in LA and you want to do something, it'd be like, I don't know, anyone else, any other profession, be like, you know what, I'm too good to go do that thing anymore that I love doing, that I've been working so hard to do.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to do that. And also, there's so much work you need to do to get the jokes up and going. You don't really want to always put somebody through that if you're doing the improv on a Friday night.
Right.
And they're out on dates and stuff. Unless you said, hey, this is going to be an all new material show, which I love doing, like Neil Brennan's show on Sundays, because it just fucking, it's incredible the freedom you have, because everybody's doing new stuff. So the crowd's in on it and they love it. Like, oh, these guys eat it. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, going back to bitching, do you have anything that hasn't worked out for you recently that you can bitch about? Like something you were excited about and you're like, this is going to be this is my closer. This is new. Yeah. This is Dean 2015.
Well, it's funny because what people don't understand, a lot of times when you first do a bit, and this is happens a lot of times, people say, but the bit will get an explosive laugh the first time. And it's usually because it came out really organic, or it's brand new and you're excited, or whatever. For some reason, the planets align and it fucking booms. And then for the next 2 weeks, you're doing the thing and you can't get shit out of it. And so that happened to me. I do another show with Jeremiah Watkins where he does a stand-up on the spot, I think it's called. And you go on stage with no material and people just make suggestions and you riff on it. So this guy said, NorCal versus SoCal, because I had moved from NorCal to SoCal. And so I riffed. I go, oh, that's so ridiculous, you know? It's not a fucking sporting event. No one's keeping score. And most people from Southern Cal aren't from here, so they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're not going, fuck that NorCal. I've never heard that ever. And the people that are saying fuck SoCal are the same people that are sitting watching TV, which is all made here in L.A., or they're listening to The Doors or any kind of rock, Jane's Addiction or anything that was from here, or they're saying boo to Malibu or the beaches or the sun. So, and I said, that's kind of like assholes that say, no, not Twizzlers, I like Red Vines. It's like, fuck, they're both fucking great. So that's the gist of the bit.
Yeah, and so I imagine it worked really well that night.
Yep.
Because the audience they knew what the show was. They knew that you had just heard this, you're riffing on it, it kills.
Yeah.
And then so you go home, you listen to it, you put it together, you tweak it, you think you make it tighter, and then you bring it out at the Comedy Store and you just ate your ass? Is that what happened?
It's not eating ass. It has some bumps to it, but it's just not like, I was thinking, oh yeah, the comparison of the SoCal and NorCal. It's like sports or candy or whatever. And it's really how I felt. I think that's why it came out, because I was like angry, like, fuck that, man, you know? But now I'm doing it. I'm not going to give up, though. That's my thing. I remember one time, I think it was Burr told me. He said, look, man, if you think it's funny and it's not, you know, it's funny. It's just you're not doing it right yet. You know what I mean? You're just maybe too wordy or whatever, but there's no way it's not funny if you think it's funny.
You just haven't found a way to convey the funny to the audience yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And once he... it's funny, man, because you and I, like, we're at the store or anywhere you're at, we get to see these legends perform, and you learn so much. I never understand getting stoned outside the club and drinking and stuff and not watching the legends, you know, because the amount I learn from these guys, how they do material and they'll be eating it, and 3 days later they'll come back and do the same shit, and it's all tuned up and fucking killing.
Yeah.
So what you learn from that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right?
When you see the work that people put into things, where, I mean, there are a few comics out there where some of the time they can say something and it's perfect the first time. But to see someone that is incredible, like your idol, whoever it is, whatever, wherever, whatever they do, to see them do something and see it in the raw sketch and then come back and see the Mona Lisa and be like, oh shit, they went home and they worked on this.
Yeah.
They kept going over it and over and over and over and trying it out. Now it's this perfect thing. Like, who the fuck am I to think that I can just say it once and be like, got it. That's on my hour.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine? You'd get bored with it.
Yeah.
Because everything you said would be funny. That would be a great movie. The guy, the guy's just
constantly killing.
He can't say anything that's not funny. It's like a curse. Yeah. So he just stops talking.
Yeah.
It's like a bad film, but it would be funny. We are blowing up with calls, but by the way, do we get calls?
On the screen, so.
Oh, I got you. Anyway, you can call in. Also, you can watch this live. Where do you watch it live at? You know, Spice?
I'm watching it live right now here with you. What, it's at dailymotion.com/allthingscomedy.
Yeah. We are at the All Things Comedy Studio. This place is freaking nice.
Is this when we put, you and I were, granted, first show. First show.
Yeah.
Between people, I'm going to call in. I hope you're ready to talk about my butt because I'm calling in.
Yeah.
Where are you? I don't know where I'm splitting cameras. I'm ready to talk about your butt. Do I need to say your Twitter handle? Call in. Yeah, we'll talk about your butt.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, you know what, man? I always, like I said, it'll take a few weeks and then it'll get rolling, but it's hilarious because people make, oh, man. Oh, I got busy. I was going to call in, man.
Yeah.
Or some people just get nervous, which is hilarious.
Yeah, yes. On the video game show I do, we have people can call into that too. And it's, you know, gamers, not all of us are super geeks, but it's a geeky, it's not, we're not out working on 67 Chevys. You know,
right.
We're talking about video games. And then sometimes, not all, every caller, but times we'll get a caller and they'll just be like, we just hear like loud mouth breathing into the phone. And they're like,
Halo's great.
And then they hang up. And it's just like, oh, man, you know, this guy had just been like dying to like get something out there.
What's the hot game right now?
Well, the newest thing, it's not even a game, but it was just announced by Microsoft. Have you seen this? It's the HoloLens.
No.
So it's like a VR headset, but I guess it's augmented reality. And so it looks like a big clunky glasses, but you know, bigger than Google Glass, so it doesn't look as dumb and douchey as like this thing.
Yeah.
But what it does is you can like see the real world, but then it's laying holograms into it that you can like Minority Report interact with.
Wow.
If this thing works the way their commercial makes it look like it will work, like they're, you know, what we want to do with this technology thing, it's like a dude walking around his kitchen, so you can see he's like pouring his coffee, doing things, like there's a Skype call projected on the wall and like a hologram globe over here and then like a projected ESPN screen over here.
Wow.
And because it's all augmented reality, it kind of just tracks with you.
Right.
It's awesome.
Whoa.
So I think that would revolutionize gaming and so many things, but who knows what it'll do.
So it's basically you could have your computer there too while you're just walking around and working and stuff.
Yeah, and you can see the real world and you can overlay whatever info you want. And I don't know if this thing will work that well or what the interface is like, because I think it's weird to touch holograms that aren't real. And
yeah.
How do you interact and like pinches and zooms and not feeling tactile responses.
Right, right.
I don't know, that thing, we're going to see a bunch of people in stupid headsets if that thing works well, because everybody will have that.
So the game, my buddy Lucas Hurl works on video games.
Mm-hmm.
And the gaming world, it seems to me, is there's two worlds. You've got the video war games, and then you've got the fantasy hobbit kind of world shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's one good distinction. There's a whole myriad in between of different styles of games within those things, where some are role-playing, some are shooting. I mean, there are ones that are hobbits and shit like that, where you're still basically just, you know, you're a murderer.
Yeah, you massacre
a population. And then there are
all games are about murder.
Most.
Yeah.
There are smaller indie games that are like, get out of this puzzle. Get out of this. That are still fun. But yeah, there's a great game series I love, and a new one's coming out they say that we'll see if it gets, it's called Uncharted, and it's cinematic and it's awesome and it's really fun, but you're kind of, you play your character Nathan Drake as kind of an Indiana Jones type everyman. He has like a front tuck t-shirt,
yeah,
and he's like joking about things, very Harrison Ford-esque, Han Solo, Indiana Jones, you know, climbing cliffs and navigating all this stuff. But if you were to count what you do in the game, you probably kill like 2,000 people.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to be like this every, you're like, whoa, how'd I get out of there? Meanwhile, you just mowed down 40 people with successive headshots. Like, you just killed the entire population of like Chile.
I think they got a Sons of Anarchy game, right?
They're working on one. They keep teasing it. I don't think it's out yet, but.
Yeah, man. I mean, that game's just got to be murder.
Well, a little known fact about that Sons of Anarchy is actually based on your life.
That's right. I am Jax Teller.
I had to change the name for legal purposes, of course. But now that the show is wrapped, I think it's an exclusive. It's an All Things Comedy exclusive. That was the early years of,
except for it was called Sons of Malarkey.
Okay.
when I did the script, it was like show's gone, man. Which is interesting. I think it's been about a month now, and it's funny because, oh shit, we got a caller. We're gonna go right to the caller. Let's see who it is. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Dean Del Rey.
Who's this?
Hey, man, this is Joe in Studio City. I was calling to see if you guys care about the Oscars at all, and what's the last movie that you guys saw?
So we're not talking about your butt.
Well, that's a great thing because I am a weirdo. I love the Oscars, which is funny, man, because I've watched it all my life because I absolutely love movies, and I mostly watch it to watch them fuck it up, you know. And one of the big fuck ups for me, the first time I stopped watching the Academy Awards, was when they didn't give Sean Penn the statue for Dead Man Walking, which they went to Nicolas Cage. And I'm not knocking Nicolas Cage, and I love Nicolas Cage, but I still think Leaving Las Vegas is a garbage can. If he did any kind of true drinking and cocaine and partying, that thing was just, it was overrated to me. Sean Penn actually made me feel, I don't know how I felt about the death penalty as I watched that guy walk down and get ready to be killed. If somebody killed my daughter, I would murder them for sure. But it's an insane performance by a master actor.
What's your
Susan Sarandon was a hot nun in that movie, though, right?
She won that year. And I think that what they do is they fuck guys a lot like they did for Mickey Rourke on The Wrestler. They don't like when you talk shit about the industry, and they fuck you. Now, Sean Penn got what they call a body of work award, where they miss you on one master performance and they give it to you for a mediocre one later on. And that's what they did with him, and that's what they do with most guys. They're like, sorry, we fucked you. But
when is Leonardo DiCaprio going to get his body of work award then? What the fuck?
I love Leonardo, and I also love Tom Cruise. People knock Tom Cruise all the time because of whatever his religion or it jumped on a couch. If you're going to knock a guy for jumping on a couch, you're a fucking moron, man. The entertainment this guy has provided people with for 30 years is, the body of work is incredible.
If you haven't watched Edge of Tomorrow, or I guess they're trying to rebrand it as Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, that movie is so entertaining. It's phenomenal. Emily Blunt, Tom Cruise.
That movie's a bomb, you know? Edge of Tomorrow is a bomb.
It's so good.
Now, what do you like, Joe?
I like Interstellar, Holmes.
Oh, are you kidding? That's a great film, man. I saw, let's see, what did I see? Last week I saw, I didn't like it. The Gambler. Did you see that one, Mark Wahlberg?
Nah, no Marky Mark.
No. The Fighter? Fucking great.
Yeah, because Christian Bale.
Right, yeah, but still, Marky Mark, you got to think, we're talking about a guy from Boston.
Or Departed.
Yeah, Departed, who was an underwear guy. You know what I mean? A Calvin Klein model who became an actor, man. It's so funny to think, right? What else you like? Well, let me ask you something because I always ask people, what are your top five films? Joe?
Top five. I love Godfather 1 and 2, of course.
Absolutely.
I love me Casino.
Yep.
I love me, you know, Harold and Maude.
Yep.
I love me some like Disney's The Black Hole.
Yep.
From way back in the day. I think that was already five. I think I fucked it up.
Yeah, that's all right, though. But I just like to talk to the people that listen to my podcast, because I'm pretty happy when you have good taste. I'm like, all right, there's people listening that have good taste, because there's so much garbage out there, and it really blows my mind.
Thanks for taking my call, Holmes. I got to get back to work.
All right, man. Thank you, dude.
All right.
That was cool.
That was a good first call.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a gangster, too, that was in there. Hey, let me ask you something, fool. Yeah,
my favorite movies are The Godfather Part 1 and 2. I have your wife and daughter tied up in my house right now. I'm going to kill them unless you pay me $1 million. And I also like that Disney movie.
Joe, rock and roll. Thanks for calling, dude. That was our first fucking call. So, Joe, you rock. Hit me, email me, DeanDelRay@Yahoo, and I'll give you free tickets to see me anytime in L.A. At any comedy show. So thank you, dude. DeanDelRay@Yahoo.com. What about you, Spice? You seen any good films? Oh, we got another call. Let's take it.
Let's get in.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Who's this?
This is Tim. I live in San Diego.
Fuck yeah, Tim. I'm going to be out there February 20 and 21 with Mary Lynn Rice Cub for my birthday at La Jolla Comedy Store. Come down.
I'm going to be there, too, because I just invited myself.
Yeah, come down, dude. Yeah, man. Please come to that.
Is it Dean?
Yeah, how are you, bud?
I'm good, man. Dude, I had you on my podcast a while back. Me and Mike Vinn. You remember me?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, how are you, bud? Hey, I'm going to be at it. Just promoted a show that you'll be at. That's hilarious.
I'm already going to be there, man. Yeah, dude, I heard you guys talking about the Oscars. I wanted to ask you, because you guys are up in L.A., like, people are saying, like, there's not a lot of diversity in the Oscars this year and stuff like that. Like, what are you guys' thoughts? And if there's anything in L.A. where people are talking about it as they go around town?
Yeah, diversity... that's a tough thing to touch, you know. Last year, of course, it was the, 10 years a slave?
12 years a slave.
Won pretty much everything, which was a fantastic film. You're talking to a guy who's a humongous Spike Lee fan. I think Do the Right Thing is in the top 10 films for me of all time. And also, it's, I get it. It's a thing. You know, it's getting better, I think. Sometimes, I don't know. But what are you gonna do? You know, it's great. Like Spike Lee, he goes and makes his own movies, you know? It's a tough thing to talk about. What do you think, Spice?
I think it's tough. I think sometimes it's a very real problem and intentional, and there are jerks. There are jerks in the world. It's not a big deal. Donald Sterling, the former owner of the Clippers, we learned was a huge fucking jerk. Then there are also, I think, instances of it where it's systemic, and the fact that people aren't intentionally doing something, but you were born in the 50s, you grew up, you only knew a certain group of people, and then you support that group of people and you help out your friends, like anyone helps out your friends, and then you realize that your group of friends is only people just like you,
yep.
And, oh, we have a problem. And so people, I think, need to be a little more proactive to think outside their comfort zone. I mean, I know you and I, for stand-up, you know, you put together a show, and it's like, oh, who do I want on the show? Well, I love Dean, we'll get Dean on the show, and then I sit back and realize, like, okay, I love Dean, but I've had Dean on the last 10 shows
totally.
I've done,
totally.
Which is great, but then you realize, oh, well, there are other funny people out there. Let's expand that. Let's see that. And, like, American Sniper is a movie that's doing crazy numbers right now, and a lot of critics don't like it, but the Oscars love it, and is part of that just because Clint Eastwood is motherfucking Clint Eastwood, right?
That's right.
Like, he can do no wrong in front of the Academy versus a first-year director or, I'm blanking on her name, but the director of Selma, who has no real industry heat. Is it an intentional snub, or is it just, hey, our best friend did something awesome again, yeah. Oh, and this other new person, who are they?
Well, you have a lot of stuff with race, but you also have things that I've dealt with, like he's too old, Well, I'm 40. I'm going to be 49 next.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Month.
I got to get off this show. How old are you?
Yeah. But I mean, there's so many discriminations, and of course, race being the number one. But you've got, things against women. They're overweight, or they're too old, or they're, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, Lena Dunham. What'd she do? She went and made Girls. You think she would have got a show on her own? Probably not. But she's fucking got one of the best shows I've seen in years. And she went and did something about it. Is anybody going to just give me movies? No. So I do comedy and I just try to do my own stuff. And then when I do get somewhere, like Spicer said, I bring people along. And they're all different race, looks, and ages. And that's just because... they're people I respect and
no,
like.
No one else is as old as you.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to name a few names, but anyway, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, killer stuff, dude. Keep it up, guys.
Thank you so much, man. That's an interesting thing, and it's always a hot topic. And what happens is you'll end up talking about it for hours.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you know. It goes back to, I remember, Public Enemy song, Burn Hollywood Burn, you know? Burn Hollywood Burn! I love that one. Yeah, I'm down to do that movie. You know, you play a slave. He's like, ah, fuck you, man. Flavor Flav, badass, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just keep trying to do shit. Have you seen American Sniper?
I have. I had a screener of it.
Yeah, don't tell me anything because I want to go see it at the Dome, this week. But it's amazing that Clint Eastwood, who Spike Lee hates, it's funny because I love Clint Eastwood and I love Spike Lee. They have their own words. I think Letters from Iwo Jima is one of the best films I've seen in 20 years, which is incredible. But I've been watching Clint Eastwood. His entire career has been badass. From Hang 'Em High, I worship Dirty Harry's.
Yeah.
The first three are unbelievable. I love Every Which Way But Loose, Right Turn Clyde shit.
Yeah.
He's made some stinkers when he was, and then there's a while where he just had fucking Sandra Locke and everything. I don't need that. But I think he's 84 and he directed this fucking film. First of all, if I could even live to 84, I'm going to be happy. And he's out just working.
Yeah.
Fucking guys directing movies.
Well, that's how you live to 84 is you don't stop working, doing what you love. All I'll say about American Sniper, and Clint's done a few of these movies, I wish it wasn't a, quote, true story.
Right.
Because it's a wonderfully entertaining movie, but then, of course, you get people that are nitpicking it. Like, that's not how the guy really was. He really was a jerk. Or he wasn't a jerk. He was way nicer. He loved his wife way more than that. He was a good guy. He was a bad guy. And I know you want to pull people in with this true story and kind of like any true story, even if it's a recounting in the olden days of people around a campfire, they're never going to tell you exactly what happened because they're telling a fucking story.
Yeah.
But I almost wish it was just kind of like we took this thing and made just a story about it, because I think you could get across the same message or whatever point you're trying to do and eliminate the distractions of people being like, well, this guy was a jerk and I don't want to talk about the movie. I want to talk about that there were no WMDs in Iraq and I want to make it this and I want to make it that. Whereas if you just make, I'm trying to think of a movie that wasn't, this isn't a war movie, Gladiator, which I know is an old movie, or
you're just telling a story.
Apocalypse Now, you can still get your point across of what you want to do, but you don't have to have the baggage. But maybe that's what Clint wanted. Maybe he wanted that dialogue. So it's not for me to say, but my only gripe with it is that it's that awkward thing of any true story, Apollo 13, any of those movies, it makes a movie out of what was a lot of gray area.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It's a dude's fucking life.
Yeah. It's like that one with the woman from the Obama. Remember that one last year where they're hunting for Obama? Or what was that?
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that film.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Zero Dark Thirty.
That's our producer over there, which I forgot his name. Chris, what's your name?
Aaron.
Aaron. And I'm not a dick. I just met him 10 minutes ago. But
he's also a dick. See, this is the thing. In the Dean's movie,
yeah.
Dean wouldn't be a dick. But in real life,
yeah.
one of the biggest dicks I know. But your podcast personality, your radio personality, is such a nice guy.
I fucking put the facade on, buddy. You know what I mean? The amount of hate I push down each day and rage. Matter of fact, a couple days ago, and I wanted to murder this guy, I was driving home from UCB, the one on Franklin.
Yeah.
And it was around... 1:45.
Sure.
And this is where I say, fuck you, Uber, and every one of you fucking drivers. You can eat dicks. You don't fucking own the road. And I mean that in the most fucking angry way, because Uber people are fucking shitheads. Meaning, I ride a motorcycle every day. These guys do whatever the fuck they want, break any law, they U-turn, they park anywhere, they take all the parking at coffee shops, they just fucking do whatever they want. So I'm driving down the road, his car, first of all, if it's a cab, I go, that's a cab, he's fucking looking for a fare. But this guy's just in some Celica, and he's slowing down, then he's speeding up, he's slowing down, and I'm going, this guy's drunk. It's 1:45 in the morning. I got to watch out. I'm on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
As I start to go around him, he stops. And he stops right in front of the 101 Cafe, yeah. which is, there's no stopping there. That's like fucking a drag strip there to get onto the freeway.
Yeah.
I go, whoa, what the fuck's this guy doing? So I'm honking. Two fucking drunk frat guys are like, go around, man. Common sense, dude. Go around. I was like, are you fucking out of your mind? I want to kill you. This guy fucking just locked his brakes up in front of me to pick your fucking shit ass up when he could have went around the turn and parked legally.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't even know where I was going with that rage.
Just your anger.
Yeah,
your
my anger. It's fucking anger. Noon. I'm fucking just... Anyway, what I'm saying is, you were talking about, like... you know, true stories and stuff. And, you know, it gets into movies of, I don't question the, it's not a documentary.
Sure.
So are there some fucking probably loophole, you know, wrong moves in it? Yeah, but it's there to entertain us.
Right.
Sometimes you don't need the full thing. If I need that, I'll watch a documentary on Discovery Channel about snipers.
Then I guess my problem isn't with the movie. That's a good point. My problem then is with, stupid people, because they like most people are smart and they can make that distinction. But then there are those dumb people that always have Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're just like,
bloggers.
That's not what happened. This is true. And they just don't realize that they were watching a movie. And they, you know, that's my problem with it. It's not the movie. It's the people that then adopt it as fact.
Yeah.
And walk around like I got a grad degree in American Sniper. No, you watched a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah, right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I love war flicks because it's, I had a woman on last week on my podcast, if you want to listen to it, but she was a woman that went to Afghanistan as a soldier. She's a chef now. Her name's Elise Lane. Check out the episode, but I watch these things because it's such an animal that I can't imagine, you know, of fighting wars. And I thank our troops for doing what they do, because it takes a certain person to do that.
Yeah.
I love Platoon. Apocalypse Now is my favorite top five film of all time. And it's mostly because it's in Full Metal Jacket. You can't imagine what kind of brotherhood you need when you're out there fighting other humans for what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, right now it's what, for oil, money, greed, you know what I mean? Do I believe in blasting dudes that cut people's heads off? Fuck yeah. But the other stuff, I still don't know what's going on. It's just a forever war.
Yeah.
I mean, Desert Storm, I thought, ended like 10 days later, and we're still going 2014 on some war.
Yeah, well, I mean, the post office introduced forever stamps, and the world has introduced forever war.
Yeah, right.
You can mail any bomb you want at any time for the price of a forever war.
It's crazy. You're
always able to send it your way.
I just, I mean, that's as far as I'll get with the politics because, you know, there's people that know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right, right. You know what I mean? We were just talking about doing comedy shows, and it's like, now we got you motherfuckers.
All
right,
man.
Welcome to the trap.
Here's the deal with war, man. It sucks.
We hit you up with 40 minutes of comedy and bullshit, and then we hit you with the truth right in the teeth.
I like this guy right here. I must be a retard today. Can't find the podcast. Where's it at, Spice?
So it is online at dailymotion.com/allthingscomedy. And if you want to call in, the studio number is 323-282-7424. Again, that is online at dailymotion.com/allthingscomedy. But that's funny because I'm saying that into the podcast.
Yeah.
So that dude has, like, me saying it does not help that dude on Twitter at all.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not even fucking thinking about it. Hey, dude, I know you can't find it, but you should be looking for us right here.
Because anyone that can hear me telling you where it is has clearly found where it is.
Dude, that is fucking genius, man. So fucking
dumb.
Did
you tweet at that guy where it is?
I didn't tweet at that guy. But,
he'll figure it out.
Yeah, here, I'll let you do it. All right, so... Anyway, that, you know, what other movies you seen this year? So the Academy Awards are coming up. They're always around my birthday, which is fun because it's like my birthday's February 3rd, so we get the Super Bowl and I get the Academy Awards. Academy Awards mean more to me than the Super Bowl.
Ugh.
No, because I just love to see once in a while when they let like a fucking like someone great win, you know?
Sure. I mean, that's called...
Is Bill Murray up for St. Vincent?
I do not know.
No,
he's
not.
Not for an Oscar. I know he has some SAG noms.
Right.
Dude, so I don't think it's nominated. Maybe your screenplay. So I'm SAG voting is this week for the SAG Awards.
Right.
So I'm watching all of those screeners and not necessarily dialed into the Academy Awards. But one movie that is SAG nominated and got heat but didn't break through for Best Picture for the Oscars is Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Holy crap. I loved that. As like a film nerd and an actor and whatever, a writer, it's interesting because it's like a noir-type thriller but with no real character arc.
Wow.
A lot of times these movies come through and it's, you know, this guy's a jerk and then gets redeemed or, you know, a Breaking Bad arc where the guy just breaks bad and I know it's a TV show, but it's like his character is just... It's fascinating, and I think some people have a problem with it because it doesn't follow that typical structure of this guy learns his lesson at the end or whatever. But in terms of just watching a creepy performance of this guy just killing this character and just living in the world, it blew me away.
I love that.
And then for the Oscars, it's not everybody's taste, but I think Grand Budapest Hotel is beautiful, and that and Birdman are probably my two faves that are in the running for Oscars this year.
It's funny you say you talk about Grand Budapest because I'm a Wes Anderson freak.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking love this guy. I love everything about him, man. But that was like my least favorite, you know?
Really?
Yeah, because the, and I don't want to give away for the people if they haven't seen it, because it got fucking mad love, which I think is a rebound award, you know, nominees for all the shit they missed before, like Tenenbaums and Life Aquatic and Incredible Mr. Fox and the last one, Moonrise Kingdom, which I thought was a masterpiece, Moonrise Kingdom. This one, the only problem I had with it was I felt the story was really weak. It was a kind of a throwaway story.
That's kind of what I liked about it. And I feel like he, and even if you boil it down, I think Tenenbaums or Darjeeling Limited is kind of that also, where it's a very, I don't know if weak is the word, I think it was simple.
Yeah.
And, but just
pretty standard.
Beautifully hit, and Willem Dafoe is incredible. And
he always is.
Just phenomenal. And the roles that these people play. Adrian Brody, and just like these amazing, these talents playing these small lived-in roles that push this story forward. And yeah, you kind of see where things are going, but I still think it's an enjoyable
it's
an enjoyable trip. And that's what I love about it. That's what I love about his work is that he takes things and just shoots them so beautifully and moves them at his own pace.
Yep.
That I could literally watch grass grow.
Absolutely.
If it's scored by him and shot by him.
Like, I was so happy that he got all those award nominees because to me it was like, oh, yeah, he's going to get to make 10 more films. That's right. All I fucking care about. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I don't like it, but when you're a Wes Anderson freak like me, the fucking bar is so high all the time, you know?
Yeah.
I love The Incredible Mr. Fox. It's so funny because there was like a year straight where I would talk about it around D'Elia and he would get so fucking mad. Fucking stop talking about that film. I'm like, yeah, man, it's good. You just don't like good stuff. And we'd argue, you know? But it was such a great, great movie. And all the, that story was like simple, but beautiful. But my point is, we're just saying, you know, apples and oranges. Right. All this shit is great.
I want to see that in, I know D'Elia just recorded his new special. I would love if he had a 20-minute bit on the Fantastic Mr. Fox. Do you ever know how Fox, and he like has a fox act out, and he's like walking like a little claymation guy, and he just kills it for 20 minutes, and it's like in the credits, it's like, special thanks to Dean Del Rey for bugging the shit out of me for Fantastic Mr. Fox for a year.
That would never happen, the special thanks part. Birdman, fucking fantastic. Yeah. I'm a huge Edward Norton fan. I think that if you've never seen this film he directed called Deep in the Valley or Down in the Valley, it's one of the two. See this film. It's disturbing. Huh. It's incredible. I've loved this guy since the first time I seen him years ago. 25th Hour, of course, he crushes with the Spike Lee film. But he's great, and then, of course, Keaton is just monstrous.
Yeah.
And the girl is crazy sexy.
Twitter update. So I tweeted that guy. Tweeted that guy the link, and he says, yeah, not showing up on my phone. I see everything but that. I don't know, dude. I don't know how to help you anymore.
Yeah.
And you're not hearing me. So yeah, it doesn't,
yeah. So we can clown him all we want, right?
What's beautiful about Birdman, I think, is the illusion of it all being one take. Which I think works so well because it takes place in a theater, not to give away anything. There aren't huge spoilers in this movie per se, but it takes place in a theater, a playhouse theater, and the way it looks like you're just running around with this camera
throughout
the thing, and it never, there are cuts, but it never looks like there's a cut. So you're kind of running around this theater and there's chaos and all this shit happening, and it looks like a episode of 24, you know, shot in real time.
It's like if you watch that porn POV where it looks like you're fucking the girl and then you roll her over and stuff. It's shot like that.
It's shot just like that.
So they really went for that POV porn look, which
is
great.
The porn Birdman is also called Birdman. Yeah. It's just a dude that fucks birds. So.
Yeah, man. Or he calls his dick a bird.
Right, either one. Well, yeah. I don't know which one you watched. But.
You got a name for your dick?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
Who names their dick?
A lot of people.
That's so weird.
According to open micers.
We got a call. Let's see if this guy opens it. Hey, what's going on, man? Hello. Yes.
First. Hey, I'm that guy on Twitter, and leave me the fuck alone.
We had a call. That was the first time we had a call failure. That's pretty fucking good for the first show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm enjoying the format of the show because it's just freestyle talking.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I mean, some shows might, depending on what people want to talk about.
I mean, who thought we were going to talk about Academy Awards? But I'm glad they did because I never really think about that until the day I wake up and I'm going to do a spot at the Comedy Store.
And you can't get there because of the Vanity Fair party?
Well, my day at the Academy Awards completely sucks because I live pretty close to it. Let's take this call. Here we go. How are you, bud? Go ahead. Hello.
Hello?
What's happening, man? Who's this?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Steve Henry. How you doing?
Steve Henry's calling in.
What's up, Spicer? How you guys doing?
Great. What's up?
That's funny you called in, Steve, because I was just getting ready to talk about... Steve just moved about two blocks where the Academy Awards is going to happen. And,
oh, God.
And he has not experienced living in the neighborhood yet since the Academy Awards hasn't happened since he moved there. But what happens is... Around I'd say about 9 in the morning, you start hearing about 40 to 50 helicopters. And that goes on for an 8-hour period. Now, I get home about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm usually asleep till around 11. So all of a sudden, it's just like, and it does not fucking go away. And does it drive you crazy? Hell yeah. So then you go, I'm getting the fuck out of my house. Oh, you can't because every street's blocked. What's going on, Steve?
I think I'm gonna plan something. What is it, Sunday, February 22nd, right? Hey, Dean, can we go somewhere?
Yeah, exactly. That's
go to Santa Barbara, man.
Yeah, like just place. Get out of town for the day, you know, like go do a show somewhere and not come back that day because it is as much as I love it and I don't knock it, you know, people, oh, look at fucking traffic and shit. It's like, shut up. It's not that stupid LA marathon, which means jack shit and fucks up the entire city. This is the entire globe income of entertainment. One night, who cares? You know?
The top 0.5%.
That's right. Now, Steve.
I wanted to make a comment, actually, real quick, and then I wanted to ask you guys a question for your viewers. My comment is about movies. I had to say something about movies. I thought, I'm with Dean. I thought Grand Budapest Hotel was okay. The story was definitely weird, but it was gorgeous. If it doesn't win for cinematography, it's going to be a shame. Selma was amazing. The Snub is kind of funny because it did get nominated for Best Picture.
Is that right?
Yeah, I get nominated for Best Picture. I did see it 2 days ago. I don't think the guy who played Martin Luther King really deserved the nomination. You know, I thought the whole movie itself hopefully gets an award for something, but he was good, but he wasn't, like, amazing. It's the same thing I thought about, playing Abraham Lincoln. I thought he was good. I actually didn't think he was great.
Oh, I thought that was incredible. But
the arc wasn't big enough for me, though. He didn't go, like, it's the same thing with the guy who played Martin Luther King. He was kind of flat. He was good, but the arc wasn't big enough for the character to, like, garner a nomination.
What I think is hard about playing MLK is it's kind of like when Jamie Foxx, and I believe he did win an Oscar for playing Ray. But, I mean, MLK is such an amazing performer and orator and speaker, and we have video and audio of him doing it, and it was in our lifetime.
Right.
So then when you watch an actor embody that role, you're kind of like, that's good, but... It's not as good as this actual video of MLK that I have. I think it makes it really interesting.
They were smart when they did.
I was thinking about this yesterday. Think about Malcolm X. Think about Denzel as Malcolm X and this guy as MLK. Denzel kills Malcolm X. Like, I was listening to a Malcolm X YouTube video the other day, and it sounded like Denzel. Like, Malcolm kind of like Denzel. That's the difference. And he didn't get the award that year. I mean, he was amazing. I think... When you get nominated for an Academy, you got to look at the guy and go, even Bradley Cooper, I didn't think he was that great. But the movie was amazing. So, and it's Clint Eastwood, so he's going to get nominated. But but guys like Denzel, what's his name? He did In the Name of Blood or something, There Will Be Blood, like that.
That's the guy.
Ridiculous.
Right.
You have to nominate that guy.
Well, you know, I think the Lincoln thing, to me, that sold it to me that was Lincoln was when they were in, he was in that carriage and they were going by all the dead bodies.
Uh-huh.
And just the fucking distraught on his face to me was like, wow, man. I mean, it felt like he was looking at those real dead bodies. So, I mean, that guy's great. I mean, you know, it's
awesome.
It's like when they did Bob Dylan movie. Instead of trying to have a guy play Bob Dylan, they had 9 people, including women, do their interpretation of what they felt Dylan was.
Yeah.
You know, because Dylan is way too fucking big. He's up there with Martin Luther King and MLK as far as, like, iconic figures in our mind, you know?
Right.
My thing
with
Lincoln... And I Googled this back up to confirm what I was thinking, is that Lincoln is always portrayed as this super tall, lanky, skinny dude that's like a giant, basically.
Yeah, with that hat.
Lincoln was 6'4". George Washington was 6'2".
Yeah.
I mean, Barack 6'1". JFK was 6 foot. Thomas Jefferson was 6'2". So, like, don't get me wrong, Lincoln's a tall dude, but like not as tall. Like we portray him as like this giant, yeah. And he's like, no, he was a little taller than Washington. And like Washington's always like this squat buff dude that like cuts down trees. And
I'm
shit.
Basically Washington in your mind, the height and the stocky fucking dude with the crazy hair.
Yeah.
Well, what you just said from all those heights is I could never be president just from the height alone.
Yeah, you're far too short. There were some short guys on this list. So Martin Luther King, 5'7".
Yeah.
So, you know, you can be influential and tiny.
Thanks for calling, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, no problem, man.
Let's get some lunch after.
All right, cool.
All right, buddy.
This is the show where Dean outs where people live on the air and then invites them to lunch. It's no longer answering Dean's emails. It's now going through his calendar and instead of people calling in, you call people.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, what's up, man? It's been a week. Anyways, wanted to see what you were doing next week.
Well, let's wrap up the show, man. I think we're here in an hour and it was the first one. We're going to be here next Thursday again, every Thursday. And I love Spicer. The guy's a fucking angel. Next to me, the devil, great guy, fantastic comedian. Please follow him on Twitter at Spicer, right?
S-P-I-C-E-R, yes, sir.
And I love the guy, and he's also, like I said, he's got some shows coming up, the improvised stand-ups coming up. Mary Lynn said she would do it, so,
yep. That's good.
When is that?
That is the second Thursday of every month at UCB Franklin here in LA. And then we have it up at UCB East in New York as well, hosted by our friend Boris Hyken. And then here, the 31st of this month, is a show called Trifecta that Rory is doing. And of course, you know you'll do it at some point.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a regular date for it, but its next date is the 31st at 10:30 at UCB Sunset. You go on the road soon, right?
I do, a little on and off here. I'm planning to shoot the special here pretty soon, May 14th. But up until then, I'm going to be, like I said, the weekend of 2021 at La Jolla Comedy Store with Mary Lynn Rice Cub. There'll be like a birthday weekend bash down there. And tonight, if you listen to this later, it won't matter, but Bonzo Bash tonight. Tomorrow is the Randy Rhodes. That's down in... you can hit Bonzo Bash on Facebook and get all the info. And I thank you guys, all the supporters, for Let There Be Talk. We're in the top 200 again this week, which is just fucking fantastic. And this show here is just going to be fun. It's for you guys. And I had a great time today. So thanks a lot. Email me, DeanDelRay@yahoo.com. Follow Spicer, and we'll see you next week. Until then, keep bitching.